All right? It's an individual thing. It deals with your heart. We can pray for revival as a church, but if we keep that mindset, we tend to say, well, the rest of the church needs revival. I'm excited enough. I'm good enough, but let's pray for everybody else to have revival. I'm good enough, but Kenny, man, he needs revival. Oh, yeah. No, that's not how we pray for revival. We pray for revival in my heart, individually, in your heart. Here in this verse, let's read it again. Chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14. It says, if my people... Now, this was to Israel, but also we are the children of God as a Christian. Remember, revival is for Christians. If you're Christians, you don't need... If you're not a Christian, you don't need revival. You need regeneration. You need to be born again first. Revival is for Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Now, last week we looked at two parts of this message already. We looked at the first problem. We're looking at the enemies of revival for right now. And the first one we looked at was God deals with pride. The first thing he says that if they shall humble themselves. Pride is one of our biggest enemies when it comes to letting God deal with us. Why is it that we argue with what the Bible says? Well, I know the Bible says that, but there's got to be some out of it. There's got to be some way around it. There's got to be some way where it doesn't apply to me. What causes us to say that? Pride. Pride. And then we also looked at the second part there. It says, and pray. The second enemy is prayerlessness. And we talked about prayer last week. How often do you honestly get down before God and pour your heart out to Him? More than just saying, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Bless us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Or when you sit down to eat. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like the food to get cold. Any more than you do. But how easy is it just to get in the routine? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. Do somebody pray. Amen. Or God is great, God is good, and we thank you for our food. Amen. Right? You know, we tend to just go through these quick things. When was the last time you honestly poured your heart out? Like God, like David did many times in the book of Psalms, just poured his heart out before God and even asked God, Lord, these are just things I see. If you see more, show them to me. Search my heart. Just really pray before God. And then we get to this morning, we get to the next part here. He says, shall humble themselves and pray. And the third thing he says is what? Seek my face. Now the Lord's talking here. It's his face that he's talking about that we're to seek. Seeking his face. What we're going to be dealing with at the third enemy of revival is the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. God told his people here to seek his face. That word seek, when you look it up, it literally means to search out by any method. It goes on to say this. Now this is interesting. Especially by means of worship and prayer. That's interesting. To seek out something. You hear all the time, I'm trying to remember the name of the title they've given it today, where they put a phone number up to call if you've seen this child. Amber Alert. The Amber Alert. That's what it is. You know, they put those Amber Alerts out, and you hear about the family organizing and the police organizing all these search parties. Now, they don't just walk up and down the road looking to see if they see anything. If you ever seen how they do those kind of things, they say, well, she was last seen here. They'll put a line of people so many feet apart, and they'll walk through a whole field, a whole forest. They very diligently look in every little part to see if she's under a tree or if she's hiding here or over here. They diligently look for her by any method possible. Here it says, God says to seek his face. the face, what it's saying here, obviously we're not going to see God. Okay, till we get to heaven. So what does he mean by to seek his face? The word face there talks about his countenance. To turn toward his direction. You know, we use the word repentance. You know, and when especially dealing with salvation. Without repentance, salvation is not possible. But repentance isn't just simply saying, I'm sorry. You know, my kids, you know, sometimes every once in a blue moon, they do something wrong. Right? And then first, I'm sorry. Especially if I say, well, no Kindle for a whole week. No video games for a whole week. Oh, I'm really sorry. Yeah, something like that. Saying I'm sorry, that's good. You should say I'm sorry. It's polite. But is that necessarily repentance? No, it's not. Repentance is going in one direction and having a change of mind, turning around, and you're going in the opposite direction. When the Bible says that we're to repent of sins, for example, we're following in the ways of the world and in the ways of sin. And when we ask them, when we repent in salvation, we turn away from that and back to God. That's repentance. It's a change of mind. Following back in his direction. Now, we'll get to that later on, talking specifically about the wicked ways, it says here in just a moment. But when it says to seek his face, it's talking to us by any method possible to seek out God's direction. To seek out God's way. And to follow that. This little phrase is a call for God's people to stop looking for help and purpose in every other little thing of life. And to start calling upon God as their primary focus and priority. To make God the priority in their life. That and that alone. You think about this. This is an interesting phrase. Think about it first before you come to a conclusion. Revival does not come to people who seek revival. According to what we're reading here, revival comes to those who seek God. You ask people, and I've had a lot of people ask me the past few weeks since we've been talking about it. What is revival, Pastor? What do you mean by when you say revival? Revival is seeking God's face, God's will, God's way in your life. Not my way, not your way, not mom and dad's way, but God's way. Many people get caught up in what God can do for them. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Let me finish. But seeking his face means that we hunger for him more than what he can do for us. We hunger for him. You know, a lot of times we come to God in prayer because what? We need something. I'll be honest, that's a lot of my prayers. Situations that I need help with, I need wisdom, I need money. Anybody else ever need money? You know, pay the bills. You know, we need help with this. We need this. We need that. We need this. We need that. When was the last time you just prayed just to seek the face of God? That's what he's talking about here. Having revival isn't coming to God and saying, Lord, here's everything I need. Please help me. And then your prayers are answered. Oh, I've had revival. That's not revival. Those are God's blessings. Don't get me wrong. But that's not revival. Seeking his face means that we hunger for him more than we hunger for what he can do for us. He wants us to love him for who he is. Genuine revival, we looked at this a little bit already. Genuine revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. seeking His face will bring revival to your heart. Let me think about this. If you had to be really honest, now just think to yourself, I don't want anybody answering out loud. Nobody needs to know our own personal business, amen? But if you had to be really honest today, just think to yourself, what is the number one priority in your life right now? The number one priority, what comes first in your life? It is so easy, and I'll put myself here, your job. It's so easy to make a job your priority. He said, well, you're the pastor, Pat. You're the pastor of the church. That's a good priority. But my priority is not being pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church. That's not my priority. Shouldn't be, at least. The bank account. How important is that? Anybody else, is that important to you? What's in the bank? It's important to me, too. But sometimes it becomes a priority in our life. Now, here's something that we might wrestle about. Our family. Now, should our family be important? Definitely. But should it come before God?
No.
No. Your church. Well, that's the Lord's church, isn't it? Well, yeah. But if you don't catch on yet, we're getting things a little backwards. When you put God first, church will be important.
Amen.
In its right place. Your family will be important. They will be important in the right place. You'll love them the right way. It'll function the right way. The bank account will get taken care of. A good job will get taken care of. When God is first. When we put Him down the line somewhere, don't expect God to bless everything else. So many times I see folks having a hard time and struggling, whether it's financially or with their family or with this or with that. And the first thing we look at, well, what's first in your life right now? It's the job. What's first in your life right now? It's this or it's that or it's this. And all these things are having problems because God's down the list. Every now and then, they'll switch it around, get things right, and guess what happens to the job and the family and everything else? It all gets taken care of. Because God is the priority. When God is our first priority, then, you think about it. When God is our first priority, the things He cares about are the things we'll care about. When we are seeking His face, He will be able to see, we will be able to see what has His attention. You know, think about it. If you're sitting here this morning and you got saved, think about it before you got saved, the things that were important. And then after you got saved, how much changed? Those things there, why in the world were they so important to me back then? Why was I always so concerned about that? God changed us. Well, sometimes, even as a Christian, things start getting out of order there. Things that are important to us shouldn't really matter. But when we start putting God first, He'll put in line all those things and how important they should be to us. And He'll take care of that. God wants us to love what He loves, folks. He wants His attention to be what catches our attention. He wants us to hate what He hates. Not who, but what? Specifically, sin. He wants us to do what He does. He wants us to develop the attitude Jesus adopted while He was here on earth. To submit to the will of God and do it. To make Him first. Even when Jesus was about to die on the cross, He was talking to the Lord there in the garden. He asked God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But what did He go on to say? Nevertheless, what?
Thy will
be done. Right. Not mine, your will. We say, Pastor, how would I know what if I have my priorities out then? How do I know if they're right or not? You really want to know if your priorities are right today? Ask these three questions. And this will give you kind of an idea. I'm not a psychiatrist, not a doctor, but I do know this comes from the Bible. It teaches us certain things. On what activity in your life do you spend most of your time? What takes up most of your time in life? What kind of activities? On what do you spend most on? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not up here begging for your money for the church or anything like that. On what do you focus your thoughts on throughout the day? Are they godly things? Things the Lord would have you to do? Or for ourselves? Think about it. Look at where you go during the days. What you do. Where you spend your life. Where you spend your time. Where you spend your talents, your treasure. Remember we talked about that in stewardship. If you do those, ask yourselves those questions there, you have a good idea. You'll be able to get a good idea of what the priorities are in your life. A few weeks ago, now we've been saving up for this and everything like this, I will say that, we bought an Xbox. I don't know why we bought an Xbox now. But no, we bought an Xbox. I've seen sometimes, though, now we saved up for it, the kids saved up for it, I made a deal with them if they save up so much, and this, that, and the other. We budgeted it all out and everything. But sometimes I see, now this is just an example of where our priorities are. There's no food in the cupboard. There's no way to pay these bills or this bill or that bill or this bill or this bill. But then we go out and buy something extravagant. And we say, Lord, how come you're not answering my prayer? Look at all the bills that are being to be paid. Look at all the needs that I have. Our priorities, it's so easy. What am I getting at? The priorities are so easy to get out of place. Especially when it comes to God. Especially when it comes to God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having an Xbox. Amen? I hope not, because I've got one. I'm stuck now. No, but I'm talking about our priorities. When they get put out of order, that's when problems come. When we get God out of order in our priorities, you can expect problems to come. If God is not first place in the priorities and those questions that we just looked at, then guess what? We're a candidate for revival. We need revival, is what I'm saying. But until you put God in His right place, don't expect to see it. Misplaced priorities are a big enemy of revival. Think again of Nineveh. Remember we talked about this a couple times. When Jonah went to Nineveh, they had their priorities out of place. And one of the first things they did when Jonah preached the message of the Lord to them, they put God at the top. And God sent revival to the people. From the king all the way down, the whole city of Nineveh experienced revival. We're talking about one of the most wicked cities to ever exist, folks. The city of Nineveh experienced revival. If they can experience revival, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? They got interested in the things of the Lord. Things like prayer. Things like living a holy life. Things like worshiping the Lord. They became priority, and God, as a result, sent them revival. He can do the same for us, folks. I'm just going to throw this out there. Don't get mad at me. Just think about this for a second. How often have we not come to church for just any old little excuse? How easy is it to find a reason not to go to church? It is very easy, isn't it? It is very easy. I'm human just as much as the rest of you. There's been some Sundays, some services. I didn't want to go, but if the pastor's not there, there's a problem, isn't it? I'll never hear the end of that. It'd be so easy to find an excuse not to go to church. When we do that, God's not our priority. Now, I'm not talking, if you're sick, please stay at home. Don't bring it here and spread it to everybody else. But I mean, sometimes we're just tired. Aren't we all? Sometimes, I'm not going to go there. It's so easy to find an excuse. Let's just leave it at that. Amen? We need revival. We need to get to the point where we make God first, where I'm going to be where He wants me to be, no matter what. I'm going to do exactly what He wants me to do, no matter what. I'm going to live a holy life, no matter what. We're going to make God. We're going to earnestly seek His face. And you know how you seek God's face? You know the good place to find out how He wants you to live? Right here. Notice He said to humble yourselves, to pray, and seek His face. Right now, through prayer and reading the Bible, that's the only way you're going to get to know what God wants for you. There is one other way. To die and go to heaven. So unless you don't want to do that, the other way is to read your Bible right now and pray. Seek the face of God, folks. We have the altar open. And I know some folks, you can't really bend down. Or some people come up here and they stand and they pray. What's the purpose of an altar? It's to seek God's face. Amen. It's to pray. To get things right with God. One of the signs, and it's not saying that we have revival, but one of the signs that revival is on its way, maybe, is when we start seeing the altar of God up here being used. The last thing here, number four, the last enemy that we're looking at of revival. The last part, the next part of that verse, it says, "Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Turn from their wicked ways. That means simply we're to forsake our sins and embrace holiness. You see, one of the things that Israel was guilty of a lot of times, and that God was trying to deal with them here in this passage, is that they were guilty of presuming upon the grace of God. Now you think about this. And the same is evident in churches all around the world today. Once you're saved, can you ever lose that salvation?
No.
The Bible's very clear in that. Well, if I can never lose my salvation, no matter what I do, I'm always going to be saved. I'm always on the way to heaven. So therefore, I have a license to live life how I want it. No. That's presuming upon the grace of God. Upon the goodness of the Lord. I'm saved, and some of the things I do, they don't really matter anymore. No. They do matter. Sin keeps us out of the presence of the Lord. Look in Isaiah chapter 59. Flip over with me. I want you to look at it too. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Look what it says here. But your iniquities, what are iniquities? Sins, okay? This is Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now, isn't that not what we're dealing with here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7? One of the things is if they turn from their wicked ways, what is the result? then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. One of the things that we're talking about here, lastly, in the enemies of revival, folks, we need to deal with our sin. It's not a fun topic to talk about. It's not a fun topic to stand up here and preach on. But it's a reality of life, isn't it? If you have figured out how to live without sinning, please let me know the answer. Please give me your recipe for that. Sin closes the Lord's ears to our prayers, folks. We can sit here and pray for a revival till we're blue in the face. And guess what? Unless we take care of this little matter, I say little, big matter, of sin, He's not going to hear it. You know, it's easy to look at the world and see the hypocrisy in it. We need more money for schools, so what do? We legalize and promote gambling to help it out. Does that make much sense? We need to stop teen pregnancy, so we give out condoms and open abortion clinics for it. Isn't that kind of ironic? We want to stop the spread of AIDS and other diseases, so make sure you practice safe sex. Instead of doing things God's way, He gives an answer for all of that. Is it no wonder God doesn't send revival to our country as a whole? We're not even willing to deal with some of these little things and do it the way God wants. But let's narrow it down. What about the church? How come we don't have revival? In some ways, and don't get me wrong, I'm talking about churches as a whole. In some ways, we're just as bad. We try to rationalize our sin. You want to know a secret?
Deep secret. Don't tell anybody this. But people at Maranatha, sometimes you know what we do? We still sin. I still sin every hour. We
all do. We're still sinners, folks. We're saved by grace, amen? But we're still in this flesh. We're still going to mess up. It doesn't mean we're going to live perfect from this on out. But the thing is, how do we deal with it? Is it ignored? Is it just put away up underneath the blanket where nobody can see it underneath the rug? Try and hide it? Is that how we should deal with it? No. The Bible says there, it says, turn from their wicked ways. We try to rationalize drinking or stealing, lying, cheating, all kinds of things, walking in pride. And in doing so, we drag the precious name of Jesus into the mud with us. And then we ask for God to send revival and wonder why it doesn't happen. We are saved by grace, folks. But grace is not a license to sin. So what's the answer? We talked about it a few minutes ago. The word called repentance. We're good with excuses, aren't we? It's easy to find an excuse. Well, I have to do this because of this. I have to live this way because of this situation. It's time to do away with the excuses. It's time to stop rationalizing our behavior. It's time to fall down before the Lord and confess our sins and ask forgiveness. I'm just as guilty as any of you. I need to do this too. But folks, He will never bless us. He will never send revival until we do so. It's time to come clean. Amen? Then He will bless us. Then he will hear from heaven. Then he will forgive our sins. And he will heal our land. You know, in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the last part, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a man, of a righteous man, availeth much. You want to know why God put that little word righteous in that verse? Because just any old man that's living the way he wants or just has sin in his heart, it will not avail much. God will not hear him. We have to cleanse our heart before God. The word refers to that word righteous refers to a one who is holy, upright, keeping the commandments of the Lord. Does that, don't answer this, but does that describe you this morning? Are you a righteous man or a righteous woman this morning? Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't say perfect. We're not perfect. But you are seeking the face of God in such a way that you are doing your best to live a holy life the way that God wants you to live. And when you do mess up, you confess your sins so he can forgive you. What does that verse say? We've quoted so many times in 1 John there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what?
Forgive us.
And what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, if he cleanses us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins, what does that make us?
Righteous.
Voila. There's the answer. Are you a righteous man or woman this morning? Can God hear your prayers? Think about that for a second. Can God hear your prayers? I learned from my pastor long ago. I used to love, I still do, love praying with my pastor. Wonderful man of God. I look up to him, I respect him, but he's still human. And even when, you know, on Saturday mornings before we go out on bus visitation for the bus routes and everything, we'd all go upstairs and we'd pray. We'd find a partner and pray together. I used to love praying with my pastor and pray with him. The very first thing that he would do is ask God to forgive him for his sin. Now, I remember as a teenager, pastor sins? And he pastors our church? No way! That's impossible! What's wrong with this? But he gave me an example that God's not going to hear the rest of his prayer until he first gets things right with God and asks God to forgive him for his sins. Folks, we need revival, but revival will not come when we're presumptuous about the sin in our life. It won't come. It will only come to those. Now listen to this. Listen hard, folks. Listen carefully. It will only come to those who get honest about their sin. I know we don't like dealing with it. I know we try to hide it. We try to ignore it. That's human. But it must be dealt with. Those who confess their sins, forsake them, and turn to God with all their hearts. You notice that verse there, it says, and turn from their wicked ways. Not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry while I'm doing this. That's not what it's saying to do. I'm sorry that I'm living this way, Lord. You're just going to have to forgive me for it. That's not what that verse is saying to do. The verse is saying, and turn from their wicked ways. Turning back to God and leaving that. Stopping doing that. You know, in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Folks, God has promised us so many times in the Bible, no matter what we've done, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It doesn't matter what we've done, but it's up to us to make the decision to turn from it and start living the way God wants us to live. Revival will come when God's people adopt the attitude that gripped the hearts of the people of Nineveh. To humble themselves before God, ask God to forgive them and turn from their wicked ways. And God sent revival to the people. They had to deal with their sin problem. We're no different. Sin is sin in the eyes of God, is it not? We've looked at that before. Sin is sin. Whether it's a little white lie or if you murdered somebody, it's still a sin. It still separates you from God. In conclusion, short message this morning. Think about this. We have some enemies this morning that need to be defeated, folks. The devil doesn't want us to have revival in this church. He's fighting tooth and nail. I've already seen it since we've been praying for revival and getting ready for this and that. I have seen the devil fighting left and right. He does not want us to have revival here. That's the last thing he wants to see. We need to deal with some things. They can be defeated. These enemies, pride, prayerlessness, priorities, presumption of sin, they can be defeated. But God puts the ball in our court. We have to deal with these things. You have to deal with your pride. You have to deal with your prayer life. You have to deal with making God the priority in your life. And you have to deal with sin in your life. Then, once those things are done, look at the result. The Lord will hear from heaven. He will forgive you your sin. And He will heal your land. He'll heal your life, folks. A lot of times people ask, you know, Pastor, can we have a meeting? I'd like to figure out what's going on. And their life is just a total disaster. It's in chaos right now. But they want just, you know, a simple verse or something that will fix everything. This is the best verse you can give them. But it's something you have to deal with. You have to work at it. You have to get hold of God and seek His face and show Him things in your life that need to change. If you want revival, if you're praying for revival this morning, you're going to have to change some things. If you're not seeing it yet, then that's because one of these enemies is still in your life. I don't know. It's between you and God. But it must be dealt with. And they can be. And when they are dealt with, folks, when it says there that God will heal their land, I don't think we get to understand what that really includes, what that involves. You'll see the power of God come over your life like you've never seen it before. You'll see God do things with you you didn't think was possible. You'll see God do things in the church you never could have imagined we would do. He promised Israel that He would hear from heaven, would forgive their sin, and heal their land. That is a description of revival. God hearing, God cleansing, and God working. That's revival, folks. You think of that word heal. It literally means to stitch back together. To repair thoroughly. You ever had a cut on your arm that needed to get stitches? One time, I've got, if you ever see my arm right here, I've got, it looks like a shark or something bit my arm right here. We were cleaning off a barbed wire fence one time with some hedge trimmers, gas-powered hedge trimmers. And it nicked one of the barbs on that fence, and it kicked back like that. Didn't even think about it. Kept on cutting, and before long, the person beside me said, "Buddy, your arm is dripping with blood." And I looked down, and it had cut my arm. The hedge trimmers had cut my arm all the way down there. Needed about, I think it was 80-some stitches there. It cut it wide open. If I would have just let it go and just kept on cutting it and act like nothing happened, what would have probably happened with that? I could have. Lost all that blood and everything, and then I hope not making anybody sick. But, what needed to be done? I had to go to the hospital, scrubbed it off, cleaned it all out, and then stitched it back together. What was the purpose of that stitching? So that it can heal. That's what the Lord does. He takes that wound in your life and He starts to stitch it all back together so that it can heal. So that it can function properly again. So that it can work without all that pain, with all that infection in your life. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Let me just ask you this. Here's the invitation for this morning. Are you a candidate for revival? Don't answer out loud, just think. Number one, are you His people? In other words, are you saved this morning? Every invitation we ask, if God forbid, but if something happened this morning, would you go to heaven? Something awful happened. God forbid, but if something happened, would you go to heaven? If you don't know that for sure this morning, you can know. The Bible tells us that we can know for sure. I invite you to come forward and we'll have somebody show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Number two, the enemies of revival, pride, prayerlessness, priorities, and presumption. Is one or more of them active in your life today? That's what this invitation is for. If you're praying for revival and you don't come forward and ask God to deal with you on it, don't expect to see revival. But if they are evident today and you see it, why don't you deal with God? Ask Him to help take care of it. Number three, maybe you're here with us, you're new this morning, or maybe you haven't really ever thought about this, but you would like for God to send revival in your life. He can make it happen. Ask Him to touch your heart about it. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. All heads bowed and eyes closed. This is a private time between people and God. It's nobody's business what everybody else is up here for. It's God's business. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Is God dealing with your heart this morning, folks? Don't be shy. Don't be scared about coming down here, what other people are going to think. Who cares what everybody else thinks? You're dealing with God this morning. When the music starts here in just a moment after we pray, the invitation's open. If you need to be saved, you come forward and we'll show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Maybe God's dealt with your heart with one of the things we're talking about, one of the enemies of revival. You're praying for revival, but you can't figure out why it's not coming. Maybe we talked about it. Come forward and ask God to give you victory over. Maybe there's something in your life you need to ask forgiveness for. Maybe you need to make Him His priority in your life again this morning. Whatever it is, come forward and talk to the Lord about it. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You'll bless this invitation. Deal with our hearts, Lord. We ask You to please send revival to our hearts. God, please, Lord, we beg You to work in our hearts this morning. If there's one here that's lost, I pray that they'll come to know You as their Savior this morning. Those of us that are saved, God, please help us to seek Your face. Lord, help send revival to our church. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Music's playing. The invitation is open. God's dealt with your heart this morning. You come on forward. The invitation's open. Folks are coming. You come on down. Talk with the Lord this morning. Ask Him to work in your heart today. Amen. Many are down here. Are there more that need to come?